We're guestless. We have no guests. That's okay.
All right, everyone, welcome to this very special episode of the Safety Third Podcast.
We have real lawn chairs now. It's bizarre.
This is nice.
It feels so weird to be in this room and not be like a little uncomfortable in my butt, honestly.
Nails sticking into my butt this time.
It's like actually so comfortable compared to what we had before.
And we refreshed it.
Thanks to our Patreons for helping us afford these new chairs.
Got new
that
trash.
Chair was like $35.
That is incredible. I've never sat in a $35 lawn chair before.
The ones we got from Big Lots, the like tiny chairs,
yeah,
were like $80, $90 each, and they were way less comfortable. They were also meant for children, but
God, we should be selling chairs. What are we doing? Selling shirts and stickers or whatever.
I'm pretty sure if we tried selling chairs,
we could sell gamer chairs.
It would cost us money. It's like it's got like one of those heat reactive seats, so you can sort of see your ass crack outline
like
on it.
The mood chair.
So you know how hard you've been gaming, the more pronounced your ball outline is.
Can we make a machine that helps reverse the dent that people get in their fucking heads from headphones?
Yeah, it's like my hair does that. It's bad.
You just need like one of those dent pullers for a car, but like smaller and for your head.
I just do this and hold it for 5 minutes and let go and nothing changes.
It's just me. It hurts sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like you have them on for so long, it starts to like cut into your head.
I'm not a true gamer. I wouldn't know. I'm still a console gamer, even though I feel like all the evidence points to the contrary of like what's better. I like consoles.
You're objectively wrong.
A console is kind of nice because it's sort of more of like a living room experience.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, you sit
on
the chair.
You don't have to like go in your own gamer cave and kind of isolate from society.
Exactly. You get like the TV experience, but also the interactive experience. Mm-hmm. Computer games are like,
It feels like you got to sit at a desk, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's
like a dungeon.
Yeah.
Piss bottles.
Right. I mean, a lot of that's regular for consoles too, though. Like, console gaming totally is a piss bottle thing as well.
You think?
I think so.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Like, but it's, I don't know, maybe more, God, I don't know.
No, I've known some guys before, you know.
I was so excited when, like, PS5s were available. Like, there was one in stock at the Best Buy by me that I bought it. I didn't even think about it. I just bought it once I saw it was there.
Yeah.
And then I didn't touch it. For like probably like 6 months.
I did the opposite. I waited forever and then I bought one. I played it a bunch for 2 weeks and I haven't touched it since. I bought the Harry Potter game for Chelsea.
Honestly, the amount of money I spent, it was just the value was just the feeling of finally having a PS5 and not in using it at all.
It's my first console I've ever bought.
What?
Yeah.
It was a PS5?
Uh-huh.
You didn't have like an N64?
I never had a Nintendo. The only thing I had growing up was a Game Boy Pocket.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did you do?
You have a Switch. But a Switch doesn't count. It's not a real console.
Yeah.
A Switch is a console.
No, it's not.
It's a cool, you can, I appreciate the Switch for what it can do. I get like maybe the graphics are a little poo-poo, especially for like the third party like ports or whatever.
Right.
But like for being able to, because you know like if someone's watching like the TV or playing another game, you can just undock your Switch
undock
and then do your own thing.
Play your own. Oh, so Will, are you wrong or is Alan wrong?
We're both wrong. I think it's
kind of right in the middle.
Wrong.
Like for me, I feel like as a kid, like having the console, like the thing that connects the TV with the controllers and everything, is kind of like a console. Like the Switch is a console, but it's definitely closer to a Game Boy, I think. Like it's kind of both.
There's
something about having the thing
very
like sitting on your entertainment console. No, I mean it is. Like, you know, it is. The Switch basically is like, you know, better than an N64.
No, I mean that's literally what it was marketed as. I think is like the middle ground.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
So
and how
like,
you can like take it out and play with friends is kind of cool.
Right.
So,
right.
Even though I've never done that,
no.
I don't have any friends.
Exactly.
But if I did. I could do that.
We're not even real, right? You're just spacing out in your living room right now.
Oh yeah.
You're sitting on the couch pretending you're talking to these two people.
No one wants to play games with Kevin after he installs
that one
sex
time
mods.
In college. I accidentally took too much NyQuil, and I still haven't woken up yet.
This is a long journey.
I still want to try. Did you guys ever see the Nintendo Labo? It was like years ago. I'd never actually bought. I don't think anyone bought it.
No.
But it, like. It looked like just interesting enough where if I could get it for free, I would be really into it.
It looked like a really solid way to squeeze grant money out of schools.
It was supposed to be this like platform for playing Nintendo games where you would get a bunch of like stamped or laser cut cardboard templates, and you could use them to like, you could bend them into like objects that then you could use to like interact with games. I think they it came with a game specifically for the
Nintendo
Labo. They
were like just a bunch of like sensors that you could connect.
No,
it was like the
it was
remotes.
Clever, more
the,
clever.
Yeah,
than
the
it,
controllers
yeah.
for, was it the Switch or the Wii U?
It was,
I think it might have been the Switch. So it's like the Switch controllers.
Yeah.
They have like, you know, an accelerometer. It's got like an IR thing. Like it's got, you know, a whole suite of sensors in it. And the idea was you could build this like essentially papercraft object that the controller would go into, and it would be like a steering wheel. There was like one that was like a robot arm. And so it would use the sensors to control something in the game.
Right.
But the controller itself would be like this weird cardboard thing that you have to build.
It had no sensors in it.
It
was almost like little like extension arms to the...
There was a, for Mario Kart, they had those controllers where you put the Switch controller in the wheel.
Yeah,
and
it's like that. But
imagine that for the same price,
the
but you have to build
ball.
It yourself. Yeah. It's made out of cardboard. So I don't think it did well. I don't think.
Yeah.
Nintendo Switch throwing knife adapter. So you can
But I like the idea. I really did like the idea of like, you know, being able to build like your own sort of like physical thing that is represented in the game, that like you just stick the controller in, you don't need to do like any other like soldering or like wiring.
Feels like something that like one in 100 kids would go absolutely
one in a thousand kids.
One in a thousand kids would go absolutely buck wild building their own stuff and customizing it.
Well, I mean, that's, I remember like I was so into like, remember like the Scholastic Book Fair? They still do those, right?
Yeah.
Yes,
I remember I didn't buy a book. I bought this like little shitty electronics, like learn electronics kit.
No,
and
wait,
it was,
they had those?
Yeah, well, so it was just a cardboard box with holes in it that you could stick springs in. And then you could connect components and wires to the springs.
Yeah.
And it like had like, you know, on the cardboard box was like layouts printed on it.
It was like one step above a breadboard. Like it was like a breadboard, but even fancier.
Less good because it was made out of, it was made
out of, but it was like something a kid could do where you could like bend the springs back and shove the legs in.
And like, I remember I bought one of those. I thought, if I felt like Jimmy Neutron, I felt like a fucking genius.
Dude.
Well, because you're like plugging shit in, and it's like,
and it catches on fire, and you're like, yeah,
I love science.
I remember it had a little like audio transformer in it, and I didn't really know what to do with it. And at one point, I think it just had a brief description of the components and said something like, you know, it can step up voltage for AC or
and you're
whatever.
Like, what's voltage?
Yeah, I know. And so, you know what I ended up doing? I ended up just connecting a battery to it, and then the other two ends. I found like an earwig. Outside that I just plugged the wires into the earwig to see if it would die, and it did die, but I don't think it was
because
it got stabbed. I don't think it was the electricity. I think it was because the wires just poked holes in it. But that was what I decided to do with the transformer.
I got one of those kits. Someone bought me like the fancier one when I was in high school.
Okay, not the cardboard.
Yeah,
not the Nintendo
one.
Labo.
The plastic one.
I've seen
But
those.
They also have
those
springs
really
that you
nice.
Bend back.
Yeah, it was a spring, all spring loaded, and the board had a bunch of like kind of fixed in place things as well. And then it had some stuff, you know, everything else you would add on. And I remember like the early, like the easy ones with like a potentiometer, you're like, yeah, okay, that's cool, I get it. And then it would start doing like transistor stuff, and I swear to God,
logic circuits,
books, those kits are made by like it's got to be just boomer electrical engineers. And I'm like, who is this, like thinking back, who is this made for?
It's made, like, for your dad to get you to make
so that your dad can play with it, because like no kid it's meant for a child. But it's almost like college level or beyond, like not even like beginning EE classes are more simple than this. And it's like, how, and the instructions, like, not, it was so bad.
Yeah.
Because what do you do with like electronics that are not like, what's even interesting without a transistor?
Nothing.
There was no Arduinos back then. There was nothing like that.
No. I remember buying
Decimal Novel.
The basic stamp. Oh. I don't know if you guys remember the basic stamp.
I never used this. I've never used a stamp.
The basic stamp was like the microcontroller before Arduino. And then even after that, I I bought a, I think it was called the Parallax Propeller.
I remember that.
Yeah. And you know what I did with both of those?
Let them sit on the shelf.
Yeah. Nothing. Yeah. Nothing. Because the only reason Arduino even took off was because like there was so much documentation.
And they'll get the purists who are like, well, it's not a real microprocessor if you don't sharpen your teeth on the asphalt.
Yeah. Like, what the hell? I mean, it's like, I still have the, I almost want to like try and do a project with them now just to like see if I could get some use out of them. But at this point, it's like, how would you even program it?
I have no idea and I don't even care.
It didn't even come with USB. Yeah. I think it had like the, the serial port.
Oh my God.
Oh, like with the 20 pins. Yeah. You have to like plug into the
printer. Well, it's actually superior because the serial port. Like, you know exactly. That's like such a like electronics purist thing to do. But there are certain things that when I was younger that like were completely beyond me that Arduino completely snuffed out. Was you just plug the thing in, you install the software, and you can just like upload code and write
it. There's
like,
examples. Yeah, and there's exactly there's like examples. Modules you can buy. That's like, this is a heat sensing module. Like, you don't need to know what's going on at the component level to use it.
And it was made by college students. I think it was a college project in Italy, Arduino.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Whereas really like the propeller and pick are probably a bunch of old crusty the boomers.
Pick. I had a pick too. I never used any of that shit. No. I probably spent like $200 and all that stuff.
Yes.
In the 90s, that was like $1,000. Yeah.
And you're like, I actually literally don't care about any of this.
Oh God.
My dad tried. He got me one of those Radio Shack electronic learning labs kits.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And it was like, dude, I was must have been 8 years old, 10 years old, and it was like one of the books was, you know, analog circuitry. And then the book number two is digital logic circuits. And I was like, this is the worst Christmas present ever. I could make some like a piezo buzzer. Like, I hooked it up somehow so it would screech at different frequencies when I turn the potentiometer.
It gets really loud if you plug it into the wall.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is like, how do you make it easier?
Have you seen it was a Kickstarter campaign that I backed. I
think I know. It's the mechanical spintronics.
Yeah. Even that, dude, there were crusty buttholes. Like, I've seen crusty buttholes complain about the hydraulic analogy, about this like mechanical version. Because like when you do engineering, you learn differential equations.
Yeah.
And like, what is a spring mass damper system? It's a differential equation, right?
Yeah.
And then what is inductance, capacitance, and resistance? It's literally the same thing. It's the exact same thing. And so when people complain,
it's the same thing. If you take a spring, you stretch it all the way back, you let it go into an earwig, it does the same thing.
That's known as an inductive spike.
If you take an earwig and a mass, the force on the earwig increases because the inertia has nowhere to go. Because
the spintronics thing, the idea is like, it's very visual. It's very
it's like Legos. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's, the analogy is like, instead of electrons, you start with like a motorized spinning thing that you connect with belts and stuff to your other components.
Yeah.
And that's like a mechanical version of an electric circuit.
Right. And it's like, I feel like, it's obviously like you could never make it like a perfect analogy because there's like complexities with it. But from like an intuition standpoint, I feel for me, the stuff I've learned the best are when I developed an intuition, even if it was an analogy of like, oh, it's like this.
Dude, I still don't know what electricity is.
Okay. But this is like an inductor.
It's like marbles in a pipe.
An inductor is like a mass. So like think of like you have a mass, right? And you hit a wall. What happens?
The earwig explodes.
Exactly.
To a tiny little splat.
And what happens if you have an inductor and it's charged up and there's nowhere to go and there's an earwig on the other side?
I guess the same thing. It turns into a stain.
Yes. It's like a bunch of energy where nowhere to go.
Okay, here, wait. All right. Scientist, Mr. Okay. Scientist, I got a question for you. What is static electricity? How the fuck does that work?
Why has it been so bad this week? Is it just
me? The winds, it dried everything.
Yeah, everything's so dry. Now it's like, get out of my car.
Right, here's what I've never understood, right? Like, do you ever just feel insane because like there's the same basic sort of explanations, boilerplate explanations for things, but then when you think about it, there's like no...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So it's like static electricity is like, oh, you rub two dissimilar things and electrons go off of one and they go to the other.
Where are they coming from?
I have
electrons. Are you stripping electrons off of atoms?
I have a simple explanation.
Yeah.
High voltage doesn't follow any of the rules you were taught. Now, I know that doesn't fully answer the question.
How do you just take electrons off an atom? Isn't that supposed to be really hard? Isn't there like electron clouds that like literally determine like if a chemical reaction will occur?
Somebody watching this is seething right now.
I know,
because
they're like,
seething
so
harder
stupid.
Because they were really mad about the microprocessor thing, and now they're even more mad about the static charge.
But like, where are the electrons coming from, and how can they just how do you just take them off of one thing and onto another thing, and that first thing is like fine,
and it's like by physical contact too.
Yeah.
It's like I'm just like, ooh, I just stole some of your electrons.
Yeah, because it's like the
or like here's some of my electrons, zap.
Yeah, like how does that work? Because it's like they're not ever actually physically touching, right? Because that's the thing, is like matter is mostly empty space, and you're only feeling like charges repelling or whatever. And so it's like they're not even touching. How is electrons moving off of one thing to the other one?
Like how does a Van de Graaff generator, right? It's like a rubber belt with like a little like copper wire that touches the belt, and it just spins. Like
so, you can just suck electrons off of things with no detriment to the thing. And it's like you take them off. It's actual atoms, but like there's no chemical reaction happening. There's no like, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's like, I've never had the balls to say it out loud, but you know what? I'm doing it now. How the fuck does static electricity work?
Okay, I've got one. How do magnets work?
You've got domains. You've got magnetic domains.
What, magnet.com?
That are not aligned, and then you align
magnet
them.
Magnet.pizza? Yeah.
Magnet.xxx. I guess only iron and nickel do
magnet.fe?
All right, so here's a picture of a Van de Graaff generator. It literally just shows you
the minus
high
signs and the plus signs. Yeah,
so
that's all they ever
when
do.
It spins the belt, positive charge ends up here, negative charge ends up here.
Dude, we're just taking all these scientists for granted.
Yeah.
There's probably one guy who like actually knows intuitively.
That's
what's
the
going
guy we
on.
Pissed off.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I like to do? I like to rub my feet on the carpet and then touch all the microprocessors.
I like to rub my feet on the carpet and touch all my pets.
Well, because that's like once you get into like the really high voltage stuff, like power lines or like lightning, and then it's like or even like power transmission is some magic shit. Do you know how do power lines work?
What does that mean?
Well, because it does like a three-phase thing, right?
Oh.
So you don't actually lose energy over those long distances. But like how the fuck does
that
work? You do.
So the reason that they use I looked into grounding too. So,
oh, right, because grounding doesn't really make sense either.
Yeah, it does. It does, but it doesn't.
Oh, yeah, that's what...
Okay,
dude.
So here. Wait,
where do the electrons go?
I think
in the ground?
Yes! Yes!
They just go in the ground?
They go into the ground.
And then we take
them? No. Wait.
From what?
Wait.
From magnets? Okay, so we spin a motor and we take electricity
really
from magnets?
We should have had a smart guest on for this one.
So, I know, I researched this, so it's not... It's someone else who I'm going to regurgitate wrong who's smart.
They're listening right now.
Also, I actually can't believe more people don't die from wall outlets. Like it's actually cursed. You know, everyone says the wall outlet is like the right side up with the ground on the bottom.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that putting the ground on top is like a way better way to do it. Yeah, because anything because if a penny or something falls,
oh right,
well,
that was like a whole TikTok challenge a while back, right, where people would slide coins on purpose.
Yeah. Let's use gravity. Let's put the gravitational force in the direction to accelerate objects into the worst terminals.
Dude, there's a whole technology connections episode video on why even like. Why do plugs have holes in them?
Has he done that already?
Yeah.
What's the answer? Is it a retention thing?
It's actually not. It has nothing to do, with
retention. It's just random?
Retention. I think it's like...
Is it like when they stamp them together or
I think
something?
There's... Dude...
No, because only in one of them.
I hate
the
that
big
I don't...
One has a hole.
I remember being so interested in this. I don't even remember. It's not retention, though. Because he said that's the first guess. But if you actually like plug and unplug and like look at it and just even feel to see if there's any kind of detent...
Stop,
it's
you're
not
turning
retention.
Me on.
just try and put it in and out. But you just do the tip.
No, it's more of like
you won't feel anything.
And then it's like
that's how I like to plug my outlets in, just dangling. Okay.
Outlets should just be fucking two exposed bolts, and then you just everything's alligator clips.
Yeah, that's your old apartment. You had
what
the 12
if it was
volt.
Like two concentric rings, so it like always just goes in.
Manufacturing complexity.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my understanding is
of how the electrical grid works in the US.
So the reason that it's not DC, so they used to be DC, they wanted DC, that was Edison.
Right. Yeah.
But DC, you have a Ohm's law problem, a power transfer problem, because the more power you want to push, because your current is now higher because your voltage is lower, you have more power loss in the wires.
Yeah, you'd have to have like a battery at every home for it to make sense, because you couldn't draw like 10 amps over.
Yeah, it would like it would never work. Like it would just, you would lose so much power into the grid.
Yeah, it's like the lower voltage, the higher the losses are in the wire.
Because power is proportional to the current through the wire. So if you have a ton of current through the wire, you have a ton of power loss because the wire is a resistor.
Yeah.
So instead, you can cheat the system by putting a tiny bit of current. But if you want only a tiny bit of current, how do you get that power through?
High voltage.
And so you essentially have like a really thin rod that has a ton of force behind it instead of a big thick rod with like moving slowly.
Like a bullet.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's and then you have transformers that transform the high voltage into
they
like
turn from
current.
A car to a robot guide looking thing.
And so it comes when you come down to houses.
He runs into your TV
right.
and he does a movie for you.
Exactly. So the ground is... It's a, I think.
Well, ground, there we go. It's gone. He had it and it's gone.
Just, I think it's
those
just
electrons
a safety thing.
In his brain just grounded.
Grounding is just, I think it's just a safety thing. Like that's it.
Okay.
It's so Earth is like the common connection between everything.
Right.
And so electricity literally goes into the Earth, which is they have to pound a copper rod into the ground.
Yeah.
And so in your wall outlet, I'm 90% certain it's just a safety measure. So that if power finds a way to get from the hotline to ground, even though ground and neutral touch, if power finds a way from hot to ground, you have a problem. And so I think it will like it will remove charge from an object. Like the ground is usually connected to the case or something like that, the enclosure. But then on GFCI, or what do they call it now?
I don't know.
It's like four letters now. Ground fault interrupter. A breaker. Ground fault. It compares GCFI. The current going through hot and neutral. And if they're not within a certain like equalness to each other, that means power is escaping through ground. And if power is escaping through ground, it means it's going through like a copper pipe or something like that, like instead of going through the wire, and it trips.
Yeah.
So if you, you know, throw a toaster in the bathtub, hot will go from the water to the pipes or to the water, whatever, and escape the wrong path, and then it trips.
I remember when GFCI breakers were new, there was like a one of the brands had a problem with a batch they had to fix, but it took a few years. It was that if you held like a stun gun or something by one of them, it would just trip just from the back.
Yeah, because it was like it's trying to measure like a very sensitive difference in current. And so if
It's like millivolts.
Yeah, it's like really tiny.
Yeah, like five, I think it's the cutoff, or milliamps. But
so like it has to ground has to be part of the reference for the power that's being sent to your house for the electricity to want to go there, because it doesn't just go, there's nothing special about the Earth, right? Like it's just because
I think it's just a third free wire.
Yeah, like at some point at the like the power station is literally has something plugged into like the Earth, and that's why that's like a reference point.
I think it's
point,
just
the
like the other.
I think what would happen otherwise is you would sort of end up with weird differentials in places.
Right.
And so I think the grounding keeps everything at like a similar potential.
Like a ground loop.
Yeah.
So is what they, I think that's a term
I'm
for
pretty
it.
Sure. Because otherwise you might like find a spot where there's like thunderclouds or something like up in the mountains. And like all of a sudden the system there is like a little bit higher.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I remember because it's like the dealing with like the mini version of this with like the electric fence, like a charger, inverter, generator, or whatever, where it's like you can cover however many like acres of land with like a big electric fence generator, and you just have to like nail a stake into one end, and then that high voltage is referenced to ground for the entirety of the fence. And it was like so powerful that the one time when we did that thing where it was like we all like touched each other to close that circuit with an electric fence at Jake Laser's place.
Right.
I remember we had everyone standing on like a sheet of plywood.
Yeah.
But even that, I think it was like creating like a weird capacitor with the ground, because when it was on, like there were still small jolts that everyone was feeling even before we connected my foot to Earth. So it was like, it was so powerful that like that thin sheet of plywood was still allowing like charge to accrue on either end.
And I think that ground works a little bit differently at like the voltages that it's being used at than we're kind of used to at like 12 right. and 5 volts. Like right. I think it does actually like
it's also out. Like not very conductive. You know, like if you yeah. try to measure the resistance of dirt.
But that's why they pound the stake in, like, you know, like yeah. like deep into the ground. It's yeah. to get like a lot of contact.
And then you get something. But yeah. like at high voltage, it's still pretty conductive.
Yeah, but I think it's better than...
But it's not that conductive.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. It is probably just like a backup or like a charge yeah. equalizer kind of thing.
So this says... the whole this one quote I found basically just says the neutral wire is... meant to transfer current away from the device, even though it's AC. The ground right. is a path for when something goes wrong. So it's like if there is something wrong in the appliance, hopefully it ends up going through ground instead of neutral.
Right. Also, I'm pretty sure that DC is better for transmission than AC. I think that AC is actually has higher losses.
What?
I think so. Because then you start getting eddy currents. I think so.
So you think like if you did like a high voltage, low current DC transmission sort of a thing, that it could theoretically be less lossy than like big honking AC.
Yeah, but
I don't know about that. Isn't that like why like Tesla won the current wars? Because it was just better overall.
That poor guy that's pissed off at this is like even angrier now.
Yeah, I know. This, oh my God. We're giving someone an aneurysm, dude.
I don't think we're that wrong. It might not be the full answer. But
that's how you know we're wrong, is that we don't think we're that wrong. That means we're so stupid we can't even realize how wrong we are. That's how you know we're wrong.
But then why does stuff work without the ground? How come I can rip the, how come when I accidentally broke the ground pin off my refrigerator and I plugged in and it still works? How come everything I touch in the refrigerator feels carbonated even if I don't open it and I touch it?
I'm glad that there are people that are like somehow just through luck of the draw, there's people in the world that are smart enough to understand all this that also were at some point were put in charge of designing these sorts of things. Can you imagine if we had to design like an electrical grid from scratch, like ourselves, yeah. like what it would end up looking like?
I actually think we might do an okay job. I'm pretty sure a lot of what exists nowadays is just Band-Aids.
Right.
On top of Band-Aids, right. on yeah. top of
For
Band-Aids.
Some like dumb decision that somebody yes. made like 100, 200 like, years
actually,
ago.
Actually, like what is like the embroidery machine? So there's mm-hmm. a file called, God, what do they call it? What's the base level file?
For what, like the designs? Like
yeah, there's the file type that my machine can take, one of the, like, it's like the base level file. It'd be like a notepad document, like a TXT, okay. right? Like a TXT is like as simple as it gets.
Right.
And then someone does like doc. And then they have like yeah. docx and yeah. it starts kind of like you lose this backward compatibility and it like it starts sort of breaking things forwards.
Yeah.
Like a text file works everywhere.
Yes.
Like you can open it with anything.
Yeah.
But then everyone adds like more complex stuff to it. And like sometimes I think those additional features cause like they conflict with the original design. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, let me think like what is something.
Like the embroidery machine is essentially like does it use G code or something similar?
It uses basically G code. The problem with that file, it's like a D. What is it? I can't remember what it's called anymore.
DICK.
So the embroidery file is like it has points and speeds and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Like it'll tell you where to go and what to do, where how to get there while doing it. Like, it either wants you to go here, or it wants you to stitch, or it wants to move without stitching. Like, it's really simple G code. It won't do color changes. Hmm. It'll indicate a color change, but it won't provide any context or information as to what the color is. And so then what you have to do is use a second piece of software that then you go through and you specify every single color of each change, because each color is on a different needle. And if you ever yeah. switch the colors, you have to rearrange them.
Okay.
And then you export it as a different file type and then put it on the machine. Or you can take the raw file, the simple file, and put it on the machine.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then you can change the colors on the machine.
Like manually.
Manually. So you have to enter in each color. And sometimes, like, depending on how you did your design, it can be like dozens and dozens and dozens. It's like really bad.
Oh, color changes.
It's really
bad. It can like bounce back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like imagine like a multicolor 3D printer having to specify every color change. Like it'd be bad.
Like a 15 nozzle yeah. 3D printer.
So I feel like that's the kind of stuff where they start, you know, they make it simple, they do this, and then all the technology on top of it just like kind of rides on that and then never fixes any of the problems. There's got to be a better example, though, of something where it's worse today because of the decision they made long ago.
I mean, at like everything. The, any, yeah,
why,
any,
like 2.4 gigahertz kind of is one of those, like Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, they were just like looking for bands that were like available so in the spectrum.
They opened up microwaves. So 2.4 gigahertz was opened up because of microwaves.
Uh-huh.
And so it was like, we'll let you use, you know, microwaves can be 2.4 gigahertz.
Uh-huh.
And then it's just, you know.
Is that what happened? Was it microwaves first or?
Microwave ovens first.
Okay. Right?
And then it opened up that, you know, it was unregulated.
Yeah.
And they like literally had. Here. Yeah, exactly. And then that's why everything's 2.4 gigahertz.
Gotcha.
Right. Because it's like, it's microwaves. Like,
don't put anything else on that frequency. It's going to be too much noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now everything is on 2.4 gigahertz.
Yeah.
It's like the one consumer allocated band.
Like, and like every, like, I don't think they ever would have predicted how much shit is shoved into 2.4 gigahertz.
Uh-huh.
Like, I bet you if you look at like total bandwidth across, you know, the usable radio spectrum, mm-hmm. I bet you it's got to be like 99%
uh-huh.
is in the 2.4.
Is in like
think of how much more room there is.
It makes me think like, What would get knocked out if you made like a jammer, like a very narrow frequency band, like radio jammer, just for 2.4 gigahertz? What does that knock out?
Like everything.
Like everything?
Everything. Yeah. Yeah. I think like all your consumer electronics. And
well, I don't know. I think everything's gotten so smart now and good at like telling.
Yeah, nothing can defeat a jammer though.
Well, they're pretty good. I mean, it's because there's so much noise on the spectrum already. They all have their own like digital encryption,
right,
and they
right.
can tell like if this is something I should listen to or not.
Right.
And it's really good at picking out the signal from the noise.
Like imagine
you need so much power.
Yeah. 2.4 gigahertz.
Yeah.
On your Wi-Fi, your neighbor's Wi-Fi, the other neighbor's Wi-Fi. Like, dude, there's got to be like tens or dozens of just Wi-Fi access points.
Yeah, just overlapping.
And they're all streaming information to devices.
How does that work?
They break the 2.4 gigahertz down into smaller bytes.
What if I
bytes.
Told you it was electrons?
That guy is so mad right now.
Oh my God. Well, I'm because that's all right. I'm just laying it all out now. I don't really know how, like, radio waves work. What is that? How do you transmit a, like...
It's literally light.
It's resonance.
You've got an antenna.
Yeah.
And then what is at the other end of that antenna that's creating...
I think it's literally just, like, a magnetic field, kind of. But it's like, resonating. So it's like a swing where if you dump it into the antenna at the right frequency, you end up with like larger pulses.
But
how do you turn that into data?
You just modulate, well, frequency modulation or amplitude modulation.
Yeah.
So you can pulse information on that, or like it's like you know, like the IR remotes, like they like 38 kilohertz.
Yeah.
There's a filter that filters out 38 kilohertz.
Right.
And
it's like Morse code, but really fast.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I get like the modulation, but like how, cause it's like, you know, with an infrared remote, you know, you've got an infrared LED and it's got, you know, positive, negative, you turn on and off a certain frequency. The antenna is like what, at the end of like an inductor? And then like, how are you actually pushing electrons up and down an antenna?
I think just like transistors, and then they tune it. So they literally, it's almost like a motor. But they have to dump energy into the motor in a sort of tuned, like a kind of black magic way.
But just at one end.
Yeah.
It goes.
Like imagine.
This
guy is actually screaming right now. And I want to say that I don't really understand how this works.
We've made very small number of people madder than they've ever been in their
I've watched a lot of videos about it. And I don't think I still understand how it works. But. I think it's like, imagine you had a motor and you're trying to spin it, but it required you to like push energy into it at like in a perfect way, like almost like a brushless motor kind of
thing.
You have to like be very careful how you're injecting energy into it to make sure that it's running optimally. And so that's what the tuning, like it's like LCR, where it's like an inductor, capacitor, and resistance, so that you can make sure that the energy is sort of like coming in and out or being dissipated. It's like kind of the correct timing.
Huh.
Yeah, that's the easy part, I would say, is just making the resonator to resonate at every frequency.
Yeah.
The hard part is having like injecting the right information into it at the right like cycles.
Right.
So like you want this one specific pulse to be slightly smaller than the next pulse.
So it's like
the next wave that comes up.
Do you remember power transfer stuff? where you want your the impedance of your you know power output to be similar to the impedance of your
right power yes output. Impedance I remember
yeah so the more impotent you are but like I did this I figured this out a long time ago because I was like trying to wrap my head around it but like if you have like a voltage divider to get your voltage out
yeah
it's like a really shitty regulator
yes yeah
right
where like as long as you're not drawing a lot of power it's probably good enough
right
and once you start drawing more power then your voltage is going to increasingly become not right. what you wanted it to be at that point
the lemon battery with Mark Rober was a very similar problem because the internal resistance of the battery was so high that it was like, how do you get as much power out of the lemon battery as possible? And it was by having a load. As soon as you start
taking some out, the voltage goes right. down.
So if your load has the exact same resistance as your battery, that is the most optimal power transfer. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you'll lose the least amount of power in your system. Because if your battery has a really high resistance and your load has low resistance, you're not going to get that much power out.
Right.
And if it's the other way around, you're then also you're not getting
as much power as you could be getting.
Right. And so the way to get all as much power out as possible is for your battery and your power supply and your load to have the exact same.
So then impedance. For like lemons, is that like a shitty car battery? Like what do you even
do? So what I did is I rearranged the lemon battery so it was more, it was like parallel versus series, right? Okay, so it was like.
It's like the surface area of the tacks that you put in there. Yeah. Adds, like that's what you're trying to maximize. It's
like the speed of the chemical reaction.
Yeah.
So I changed it from like either, you know, to get from a higher voltage, I moved it down.
Uh-huh.
To a lower voltage, but more in parallel
right.
to lower the internal resistance.
Yeah.
And so it was like, instead of like, oh man, this 12 volts can push out 1 amp. And it was like, no, because the battery craps out first.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so turning it to 6 volts can only do 1/2 amp or like whatever. But you can push out more at the same time.
Yeah.
So the battery could keep up with the load. So it's kind of like, I think there's some sort of that energy involved. We're tuning it, make sure that there's like a similar impedance. So that you get power, like you want to like get as much power out of your transmitter into the antenna.
I, dude, it's a miracle that anything works.
No, it is. Yeah, like elevators and stuff.
Like GPS.
Airplanes.
That was my first job out of college. I was working with a defense contractor for like GPS systems, and it's like your phone. Like anything that has GPS has to talk to satellites
I know.
That are so far away and moving so fast in outer space that you have to account for general and special relativity. Like Einstein shit is real and part like you it's a thing where you'd always think like, well, when is that ever gonna come into play unless you're like in a spaceship going 0.5C? It's like, no, like you have to do math in your fucking phone to account for those satellites moving so fast, so far away from Earth's gravity.
Yeah.
Because when you, depending on like the kind of
GPS. Because the pulse actually takes like a certain amount of time to get to your phone from that far away.
Depending on the resolution that you want. Yeah. So, I mean, that was like Einstein, like all those equations and shit existed.
Well, but I'm talking about like since that one satellite sends out a pulse, it actually takes a certain amount of time for your phone to get it. But the satellite has now moved a little bit.
Yeah.
So it has to like do like triangulate each satellite too. And then compare them all to each other.
Yeah. And that's you need to be in view of I think literally like 3 satellites to get in accurate positioning. But that was like the other thing is like people always think like, oh, like, you know, I've got that device has GPS, it's tracking. It's like, no. Your GPS only works if you can talk to the satellite.
If you can see, that's why I say that it's like, you know, like light. It's a 2.4 gigahertz thing.
Right.
Because it is light, but it can go through walls. Like if you've ever used a thermal camera or something, you can see like, you know, you can see heat through things, but you can't see light through them. So if you kind of expand that further into like GPS signals, it's like literally holding, like a lightning bug in outer space. That's how much light your phone is getting.
I mean, it's like
it's so sensitive.
But I think that's the frequency part, is that you can
tune
And I think that's how like basically radios work, is it's still not a very big signal.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure that it's the frequency of that signal that is filterable.
Yeah.
And so you can have really strong amplifiers and really strong filters. And you can pick up, because it's just a magnetic field, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
literally you put a magnet next to it, you would see the magnet shaking probably, right? Like, I mean, like theoretically, like what if you put a magnet next to like a really high power radio tower? Like what would happen? Would you end up with like flux, like movement or anything? Like, is it a magnetic field?
Well, I think it'd probably heat up.
I think.
I don't know though.
the like modern radio towers, you might not be able to notice it, but like the old style ones, like the spark gap transmitters, I think like those were just shooting out so much fucking energy because it was very inefficient. It was shooting out so much energy at those frequencies. I think if it was AM amplitude modulation, that if you lived nearby one of the old style spark gap transmitters,
you could hear it
in like pots and pans in your kitchen. You could hear it.
Oh yeah.
I mean, but that was like the old shit, like the really bad,
the good stuff.
Yeah, where it was like
back when cars were stronger.
Yeah. Because at that point, yeah, if you were close enough, like because it's modulating the amplitude, and that's like where the signal, the information's carried in. Like if you have just a big piece of metal close enough to the tower, it's literally just fucking banging electrons in it, and you can hear.
So I think it would vibrate though, because I'm trying to think of like a transformer, right? Yeah. Like one time,
oh, when it charges up, and you hear that.
Like yeah, yeah. Thing? So I think those are like the two halves of the transformer, or the wires smacking up against the transformer, making that noise.
Just clapping those cheeks.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so a radio wave is not a photon.
Well,
yes, it is.
I feel like we're missing something here.
No. It has to be. It is. It's wave particle duality, right? It's electromagnetic waves are also.
So you can make visible light photons by heating a wire up.
Yeah,
but you can make a long wavelength by just shaking a wire.
It is. I think photons. Wait a minute.
No, a photon.
This doesn't make any sense. Because you see, radio waves are described as photons, right?
Yeah, because it is. It's literally just a like. There's no.
Our
difference
eyes are
between,
just antennas for photons.
We can see a very small spectrum of electromagnetic radiation, but it's all the same thing. So it's like there's nothing special about the light coming off there and the light coming off a radio tower. It's just that this one, we have photoreceptors. So a radio tower should be putting out photons, but just not visible photons.
So heating something up is just a different mechanism for generating photons.
Well, when you're heating it up, a lot of the energy is escaping as infrared radiation. And then like, you know, closer to infrared, which is red, which is like, you know, why you get something glowing red hot.
Right.
So you can actually heat something up so much it starts to make ultraviolet light.
Further,
it makes X-rays.
Wasn't there a whole
just from heat?
What was the ultraviolet catastrophe? That was like a whole quantum mechanical thing, right? Where like that was how they figured out that something had to be photons or waves because like
something exploded far away or something.
It was like black body radiation didn't have a good explanation, right? The whole phenomenon of when you like heat up a piece of metal, it starts glowing. It's black body radiation.
Yeah.
Like that whole concept like fell apart when they tried to think of like how hot you'd have to make something to make it put out ultraviolet, I think. And I think they call it like the ultraviolet catastrophe.
Oh, really?
Because it realized there was a big flaw in like classical physics. But I think quantum mechanics comes like and rescues that. I don't know.
Okay.
If you know
what you were saying makes sense.
Then please.
Like there's a weird like activation. Oh yeah. Anyway.
Under this video is a comment that is a couple paragraphs long that someone has written that is properly explaining everything we are saying.
Everything
here.
Wrong with us.
Yes. Please.
And then right below it is something worse.
If you're listening in your car, take out your phone, look at the phone, don't look at the road, and scroll down to the comments until you find the one that has the paragraphs
that talks about who the most handsome host is.
Yeah, and then read that instead of whatever you were doing.
Then at
and
the
that's
bottom
gonna be more worthwhile.
Okay, so I think if we start kind of just simple, if you resonate, if you have like a tuning fork, right?
Yeah. Okay.
You have two, let's say 400 hertz tuning forks.
Yeah.
And you ding one.
Yeah.
And you put the other one next to it.
It'll
the other
going.
One starts resonating.
Yeah.
I think that is essentially how antennas work.
Okay, but for electro.
But instead of it shaking physically, it's like a
right.
But I don't even want to say a magnetic field. Is it generating magnetic? Is that what
it's
the?
It's an electromagnetic field, so but it's also a photon.
So it's generating electromagnetic field in pulses. And it's causing the other antenna to sort of subtly resonate. And then that antenna has filtering that really allows only resonant signals through.
Oh, okay. Right. It's like you're in a pool.
Yeah.
And you have a beach ball and you start smashing it in the water.
Yeah.
Creating a ripple. And then the beach ball at the other end of the pool also starts going up and down too.
Yeah. Yes. But imagine that those two beach balls only respond to a certain frequency of going up and down. Also, one of the beach balls is in fucking outer space. And the other one is like in a house.
No, I think you could do this with something big.
It'll still go at the same.
What if you did it like in the ocean and you have like two big heavy floating things?
Uh-huh.
Like the tiny waves won't cause any sort of modulation.
Yeah. Okay.
But if you were to start moving one up and down at its like natural frequency, like if you were to sort of time it to make sure it was going at its natural frequency,
right?
I think it would induce way a higher amplitude in the other object because it shares a resonant frequency.
Yep. Water out.
Yeah. So the tiny ones won't do anything. It'll just look, there'll be collisions and the energy won't match up. Uh-huh. But if you were to naturally get that big one going, the other one would 100% pick up the
energy. Well, the tiny ones would also just ride the waves.
Yeah, they would just ride it. And then that's frequency modulation or amplitude modulation. Where,
I don't know.
Is that AM?
I don't know.
We take a weight and then we move it up and down 2.4 billion times a second in the ocean. Because it's giga, right? Gigahertz?
Yeah.
Because mega, giga,
billion.
So it's literally 2.5 billion times a second.
And then the light that we can see is tera.
No.
It's not?
No.
What's it? No?
I don't. Visible light? I don't think so. Yeah, visible light is way less than gigahertz. Gigahertz is like way up there, isn't it?
No, gigahertz is way down there.
Down?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, millimeter wave is, that's a microwave.
Yeah, but I thought the wavelength of visible light was way bigger than millimeter.
No, visible is nanometer.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it looks like frequency modulation is it speeds up and slows down.
Yeah.
So maybe then the antenna has to have like sensitivity to like a certain inch. Wait, but then how does like a car antenna work? It just changes how it's filtering? Wait a second.
Wait till you... What's bandwidth?
A car antenna still works even if you unscrew it or make it shorter. It still works.
Right. But then it's just maybe a real... Maybe that's why it sounds so shitty. It's because it's like it has like a broad sensitivity and then you're just tuning.
But it's the same antenna for AM and FM, isn't it?
Like yeah, but AM is...
They don't have to be
amplitude modulation.
Yeah.
So that's like making it the signal like louder or quieter. FM, it actually speeds up and slows down the wave.
I don't think it speeds up and slows down the wave. I think it messes up the
maybe
wave
this picture
profile.
I found on Google isn't right, okay. Though.
Well, what's the one where it just like... Oh, no, I'm thinking of where they like superimpose one frequency
on the other. Is that FM?
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. So then FM is like a long carrier wave with a bunch of scribbles on it. That's the actual signal. But the filtering will still pick that up because it's... I think that's the magic of like filters, like bandpass filters, is that you can make a signal that another signal rides on, filter out the big signal, and that other signal will come in with through it. Like,
wait, how does FM even work though? Because it also has to be a photon, but you're modulating the frequency. But photons are discrete. So are you sending like different discrete
just
photons of
different
frequencies,
densities,
or is it
at different frequencies?
Wait, how the fuck does that work?
Well, I think that it's magic.
Because I thought the whole idea of a photon is a discrete packet of energy. So it's like it has a wavelength, like a specific, like, but how do you modulate?
It's like Fourier stuff, right? Where it's just signals on top of signals and you can just sort of rip them apart. And you just say, give me only that piece out of it. Like when you look at the whole thing, it looks super complicated.
So is it like if you looked at it as like photons, is an FM signal like a bunch of different photons of different wavelengths kind of coming out at the same time?
I think you would see the signal generally gets like dimmer and brighter, but then there would also be fluctuations in it that are much faster. So you'd see like really fast flickering and then like gradual dimmer and brighter.
Imagine
you take a signal and put on a sine wave, like an LED, and put on a sine wave. It's gonna get bright and dark and bright. But then you add a twinkle to it.
But that all totally makes sense if you're just thinking about it as waves, like only waves, right? Yeah. But then you have to, if you think about it as a discrete packet, because it is, it's both. It has to be both. How does that work?
Like, how does it pick up the everything combined?
Yeah, how do you modulate the frequency of a photon? Because I thought a photon was like a set packet of... Right? Because it's like...
Well, I mean, that's light.
It's how hard you push
photons of different frequencies.
Like, I guess if you were like...
Oh, no, I know what you're saying.
If you had like, if you had an LED, an RGB LED, you're never modulating the frequency of the light. You're modulating the amount of R, G, and B. The color's changing because that's how you perceive it, but you're not like... You're just differing the brightness of a single wavelength between the three of them.
I think
so. How do you...
That's the signals on the signals. So then like one of the signals... You're looking for just the radio wave, and then the signals on top of that. So like the LED is putting out light, right? So the LED is putting out light. That never changes. Yeah. So that's always a couple hundred nanometers.
You're never changing the frequency of the light itself when you're changing the color of an LED. You have set frequencies, set photon frequencies, and you're changing the amounts of each and you perceive it as different colors.
But you always see it as it's always one color, but you're transferring data by changing
right,
how much.
Right, but that only works because it's in our eyeballs.
But you can still, if you filter for 900, let's say, nanometers, you're only letting 900 nanometer light in, then all you have to do is look at the signal of that light. So the filter is on the light color.
So then if you put a filter for that and then you put a photon detector on that, you'll actually get photons of that wavelength.
Yeah, you're not measuring 900 nanometers.
Anyway, I hope that makes sense to you guys.
How long do you think it would take us if you just gave us like a box of resistors and capacitors and inductors to make a working radio? Like not being able to use the internet.
Like we have to be locked in this room. Like, you know, if people in prison can do it, we can do it.
Right?
Yeah. We just have to take apart that old TV.
I feel like it would take us like probably we could do something in like a week or two, maybe.
All we need is a working FM radio, and we can make it.
Using parts from an FM radio
to make an FM radio. I mean, there's no single person. There's not just like a guy who knows. It's like all of these, you would have to ask a guy for one very small part of it.
Yeah.
And between like 100 guys collectively, you'd be able to answer all these questions. But isn't that freaky that there's not just like a guy who knows all
Imagine spending 6 years and you're like, I built a radio. Oh my God. And then the FCC comes in and says you have to throw it in the trash. Yeah, it's too strong.
Yeah, that's how you could do it, is a spark gap. Just like,
oh, God, a spark gap. I mean, would they even care if you did like a pirate radio station that was like an old style spark gap transmitter?
FCC?
They would be on your shit so fast.
Really? But I mean, that's just like a Tesla coil.
I think there's power limits. You can do experimental stuff, but I think at some point.
What, like a kilowatt?
Yeah, I think that might be too experimental.
Yeah, I think spark gaps are really bad because they kind of broadcast on every frequency.
Yeah, yeah. Which means they also put out a lot of different photons.
Oh, no.
So then you get like...
You're like, it's like the gamer transmitter. If you could see it, if you could shift it to visible light, it would look like a disco party, like a rave.
One of the things I researched a long time ago was for like unintentional broadcasting. Right. So, you know, like some microprocessors, some electronics will have like a cap, metal cap on them.
Yeah.
It's because when you start driving digital signals at like, you know, like megahertz or gigahertz, it starts like actually transmitting. And so now you, without even trying to build a radio, have built a radio that's not actually a radio. It just happens to be blasting off waves. And that's a huge no-no. So that's like, I think that's probably mostly what the FCC does, is not actually looking at radio waves, but looking at unintended waves. Like when all people do like the FCC testing on their devices, right. I think that's all it is.
You know, people have found out that they can hack computers like that. They can get information from computers from
because
phenomenon.
Inside the computer, it's going to be leaking some kind of information electromagnetically.
Yeah. And what they'll do is that they'll like, basically amplitude modify the power into the computer. So then downstream, they can put a tap on the line and see, like they can transmit Morse code or like whatever to a guy that has like a current sensor on the power line, and they could pulse like, I don't know, something that takes a lot of power, like the GPU, just like boom, 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 and transmit passwords like
Jesus.
That.
Jesus. There was, I remember a while ago, I don't know if it's still a thing, but a while ago, there was like, some invention back when like Wi-Fi I think was a lot crappier, but it was supposed to solve like bad connection issues before like mesh networks were like a thing. It was this idea that you could transmit information by modulating your lights. So it's like you could have like a station that was like photosensitive somehow, and you could modulate data over your light bulbs in a way that you would never notice,
yeah.
But that a station could pick up, and that way every room in your house would be able. But the problem then is like all the rooms would be getting the same fucking thing. I think there's a reason why.
Yeah,
that
but that's how radios work. You know, when you're you know, little brother's watching porn in his room, your phone is picking up the signals. It's just
yeah, I guess however they
yeah,
do
yeah,
it
that was
radio,
my that was my brother, and it's just coming on my
dude. Lights. If you were the Wi-Fi router, you'd be like, a picture of a cat. 6 girls, 1 dude. Muffin recipe.
Honestly,
and then you're just like ignoring whatever the hell's going on. Your brother's like, please God, stop.
That used to be a beginning exercise for how we would teach kids about microcontrollers. I used to do a maker summer camp thing. And so, like, to get that concept across, what we would start day one was not even touching the computer. It was, we would have kids just write like single action instructions on note cards. And then we would like hand them out to kids, and then they would have to do it in that order and then repeat over and over again. If there was an instruction that said like repeat at the top. So it's like, you could definitely teach kids about routers by having them scream out things that you want to see. So it's like, it's fucking a kid in the middle and then 6 people around them, and every one of them tells the kid what they want to see. And he's just saying, I want to see boobs. And the kid goes, boobs
for Greg, just Greg. Only Greg's allowed to see this.
Greg has a decoder ring on.
For all I know, that's how it actually works.
No,
it is. Tiny man in the router that's just screaming
and pleading with the other people not to decipher what's coming through. But that's why I think encryption solves that problem mostly.
How does anything work? How does anything ever happen?
That's the miracle of 2.4 gigahertz. Porn, muffin recipes, and pictures of kittens all happening at the same time
and
across dozens of houses in the same area.
Making a hot pocket in the microwave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh.
It can serve me pictures of boobs and cook my food for me.
It's actually like super cursed. You know, there was a thing, like I was more of my crap I was researching a long time ago. I think it's called like Z-Wave or something. It was smart home devices, and it used, instead of transmitting over light, it would transmit over the voltage cross, the zero threshold of your AC wave.
Oh my God.
So it would wait until it was at zero, and then it would inject data into the
So the idea is you could plug the thing just in your outlet.
And it would communicate using your house wires. And it was hijacking that cross point.
That's pretty funny.
I mean,
that's
clever. The bizarre thing, though, is like none of these things are like, I mean, there's obviously like a lot of technical things that are wrong with them and bad. But it's like any of them were probably only like just off by timing or like marketing to become the dominant way of doing things. Like even if it sounds really bad, there's like probably only a period of years and maybe like a few $100,000 separating that from us using Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Like any of that could have just been the way we do things.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I think, you know what? I got one of those. Okay. I think I finally have the example of a technology that everything kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Bluetooth.
Okay. Bluetooth.
Yeah.
It just got used for everything. It got used for everything, and it cannot keep up. And it's so bad, and it's the only thing, and I hate it so much.
It's like, okay, have you ever tried listening to or playing a video game using Bluetooth headset or a Bluetooth speaker? There's lag.
Yeah, there's a lot of latency.
It's like, how did they not solve this problem yet?
Because it was never meant to solve
that
problem.
There's less lag
than
it takes for me to load a web, like a web page will load faster than like sound will play over my speakers.
It's bad. Yeah. It's really bad.
What's the Bluetooth spectrum?
I think
2.4.
Yeah.
Wait, really?
It's all 2.4. Dude, it's all 2.4. Uh-huh. That's like the astronaut meme right now. Are you telling me it's always been 2.4?
So wait, how is Bluetooth? It's a different protocol, but it's the same frequency as Wi-Fi.
It's like
microwaves.
It's like kind of the same thing as Wi-Fi, just not.
Well, then why don't all those devices just use Wi-Fi?
I don't know.
There's a reason. There must.
I actually have no idea. It was supposed to be like maybe a simpler version of Wi-Fi. Oh, then God. People started basically using as Wi-Fi. Yeah. Like transmitting audio.
It's like Wi-Fi, but literally worse in every single way. You can't even transfer file. Have you tried transferring a file over Bluetooth?
Oh, it takes
forever.
It's a joke.
Why even give me the option?
No, it's bad. Yeah. No, it's like
honestly,
actually bad. It's embarrassing.
It's like you get 50 kilobytes per second or something like that.
That's good. It was like there was I think there was one of the movies or shows for like the original Transformers, like Optimus Prime's consciousness had to like be transferred out of his body, and they put it on a floppy disk, which implies that all of Optimus Prime's consciousness fits in like hundreds of kilobytes.
Yeah,
so, like. I think I saw an article, it was probably on like Cracked back in the day, but it was like they had a GIF, just like an anime GIF of Optimus Prime like exploding. Like, this GIF has more information than all of Optimus Prime's like soul. But it's like, because back then you couldn't imagine more storage than that. So yeah. Of course you upload Optimus Prime onto a floppy disk. So it's like, yeah, maybe Bluetooth was like,
you know, even back then you could buy programs that would come in a volume of floppy disks.
Yes.
Right. Oh, so, you think it should have been like a couple of them?
No, I think they knew what they were doing. I think he's just really dumb.
Or it's like maybe it's just like the Cybertronians or whatever, like really figured out consciousness, and it's like it turns out you don't actually need that much.
This is like a random, it's like one line of code in a random seed.
Yeah, like it turns out all the neurons we have is really inefficient because of how evolution works, but it's like if you actually boiled it down, it only needs about 100 kilobytes.
Yeah.
Or just starts him off as like default Optimus. He doesn't have any of his memories.
Well, that's why, like, one of the first things, like, God, it's really sad to say
it's
that.
It's like the boot disk or something.
He just boots up and he's like,
there's nothing else. I feel really bad after this entire thing and now saying that I majored in electrical engineering.
No, don't worry. Everyone else you graduated with had no idea what was going on.
But like that was, I remember one of the first the circuit design classes I took where we're learning like how to like simplify or decompose. Like it's like you can take this like sort of large scope state machine, but then you can realize that there's like a lot of like things that can overlap. And so you can basically like you can almost reduce something very complicated. A complicated state machine.
It's like digital logic.
Yeah, you can turn it into like a smaller number of like XOR gates, and it'll do the exact same thing that you need it to.
Yeah.
And that, like, ever since I learned that idea, I was like, how many XOR gates is a person really? Like, you could probably.
Yeah.
I think if you, depending on the scope, you could probably make someone out of like 5 XOR gates.
If you go below, they start having seizures.
Well, because if you have your basic states of like hungry, horny, angry, happy, sad.
Horngry.
Horngry is too many because then you need two. Those, if as long as it's only one output at a time, I think it's pretty simple. If you need to do two, then I don't know if you can do that with that many XOR gates.
We filmed a little thing with the guys who did the zero gravity 3D printer, the instant 3D printer at Open Source. So we went up to Berkeley. I didn't see it either, but we just went up to Berkeley, and so I did see it.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, they were showing me everything, like how the whole thing works. Mm. And it made me realize like there is like, because one of the questions they asked is like for the slicing, basically.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The zero gravity printer, the instant 3D printer, is a CT scanner in reverse. So instead
is
of
it like cures resin in a circle,
correct,
kind of a thing.
And so what it does is over a period of the cure time, which you have to inject a certain amount of energy into the resin for it to cure, they're projecting like shadows onto it, basically, like they're projecting light into the resin so that as the photons travel through, each area gets a corresponding amount of energy.
So it all
cures at the same time. But what that means is you end up with a lot of conflicts where you can't exclusively put light in some areas.
Right.
And so one of the ideas, and I asked him, was like, what about like a do not care? Like, does the software have any idea of like do not care? Like, I do not care what happens in this area.
Right.
Because that would essentially reduce, you know, what it has to think about. And it's like, oh, I can, like here, I have a way higher thrust. I can blast whatever I want here.
Yeah.
Because I don't care if this middle section of the gear that's just a hollow shaft, like it'll just fall out anyways once it's cured. It's like really interesting of like not having to solve the whole problem.
So is it like a line? It just exposes like a line?
It's a two-dimensional image projecting through it.
And it's
It's like a line, but it's like a lot of lines at the same time.
Okay.
No, but that's exactly.
Well, it's a lot like one dimension, except there's a whole nother dimension.
You could do it with a single line. It would just take way longer.
Yeah, but it would be more collimated.
I don't think it matters.
It really matters.
So
okay.
You can do it. That's why this stuff is a little nasty. There's math, basically, to compensate for the fact that it's a cone.
Yeah.
And it actually, because when I want to build the CT scanner eventually. Instead of taking the single line, or like instead of doing a perfectly like parallel beam, collimated beam,
mm-hmm.
you can actually just take your cone beam and then rearrange the slices from different angles. So you take a slice that was here, you know, two angled ones from different angles will share angles. And so you rearrange the angles and you can have buckets of straight lines.
Oh, dear.
Don't, it's bad. So instead of doing fancy math to compensate for the light going through at different angles, you can just reorganize all the different beams going through it.
And then do a bunch of fancy math.
You don't have to do fancy math. You just say, I know that at angle 45 degrees and angle 35, I can take line pixel number 4 and pixel number 12, and I can put them in the same bucket.
Can they use it to print like a really accurate Lola Bunny? You know, really from quickly. Space Jam.
I mean, it worked. It worked pretty well on certain types of things. I think you'd be better off. Well, how high fidelity?
Like really good. How big do you want butt it? Cheeks, right?
Oh no, I think you'd have to use something else.
But
we can figure it out.
Does it have like so? Must have the equivalent of like not being able to like print overhangs and stuff, right? Of like
no, we can do all that.
Because like the problem is suspended in like a liquid.
Yeah, the gel is pretty thick, and so it kind of flows.
It is a gel. It's like a resin.
Yeah. So basically you're solving for, you're trying to get an equal amount of energy into every part you want exposed.
Yeah.
And you're trying to not get that energy into places you don't want exposed.
Right.
And so it's like a game of like, where can I put my photons that's not going to put this little area over the threshold to expose?
Right. Oh my God.
Yeah.
How fast is it?
10 seconds. It's instant. It's ridiculous.
For what's the build volume? It's like a tube?
The one they were demoing is like maybe the size of like a quarter. And then it's like a few, like a couple inches tall. So the envelope for that one, but they have like a big one they can do. But then you start ending with, there's different problems with the bigger ones. And I don't remember exactly.
I mean, that's really crazy that you could have, even something that size, especially if it's like parts for something, right?
Yeah. I mean, I have a nut and bolt that work.
Really?
That were printed totally in like 10 seconds in that thing.
Wait, yeah, 10 seconds. Together? What? The same the print?
Fuck!
Or two different in the same vial.
Oh, okay.
It's not.
I didn't know if they'd have the good enough resolution to keep stuff from sticking.
They have high resolution.
Yeah,
but it's like it's like a bleeding problem.
Yeah, it's like feathered edges.
Yeah, exactly. So if you try to do two things too close to each other, it's hard to not expose the gap in between.
Yeah,
and then certain objects expose better. It's a very weird, very complicated problem that like needs a lot of software to actually make work like super well.
And I guess it also, the benefit is that because it doesn't have to like raise out of like a pool, that's why it can work in zero G.
Yeah. It can just do the whole thing in one loop and the part just floats in there. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was very, very cool. Like it's funny though, like how nice 3D printing is now with all the software. Oh, yeah. Watching them do it, it's just like Python scripts and stuff. He was like trying to get it to work and then something had updated and so he couldn't export the video. So the way it works is it's a video playing from a projector and then a motor spinning at a certain speed and you just sort of hope the two clocks are in sync.
Oh my God. I thought it'd be way fancier than that. Nah. I guess because it's all software that has to like make it work.
So you literally like once you start exposing it, the video just loops.
We could do that.
Yeah. If we steal.
That's easy. We could do
that. The software's all online too. So I'm pretty sure you could take a traditional resin printer and turn it into a projector, or if they have a projector one. How do you turn a LCD into a projector? You could just put a lens in front of it, right?
Yeah. That's all a projector is. They have tiny little LCDs in there.
But do you need a lens in front? You need a lens, yeah, right? So you'd have a light. So if you bought a resin printer,
or you could just, what if you just like used a computer monitor or your phone as a projector?
Well, the print, I'm trying to think like a printer already said, like the resin printers already have an LCD in there.
Yeah.
So if you took the LCD and then put a lens in front of it, you could project that image onto a vat. So you could use the motor from the printer to spin.
Oh, okay.
You could use the projector and the LCD to like project the light through. Like I think you could literally repurpose a resin printer into an instant 3D printer.
You could use, I mean, I'm just saying you could probably use your, it has to be UV light, right?
Yeah.
Is that?
So they have to strip certain things out of it.
Yeah. Okay.
God, that's cool.
Well, speaking of number one, things that I'm glad aren't, or like that we stopped doing, like your Z your Z wave thing.
Yeah,
I remember I had this microcontroller or something, and I had to program it by turning on a program on my computer. Then I had to hold this up to the computer and had a photo sensor, and it would like blink Morse code into the microcontroller or something to program it, and it would take like 5 minutes.
That's badass, though. That's crazy.
I can't remember what it was, but I know I didn't like using it.
Wait, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is such a good example of like how shitty the wireless protocols are. Like I remember we were trying to build this garden sensor out of college. My friend and I were doing like a Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah.
And it was like, how do you connect this to your phone? I'm like, I have no idea. Like, well, you have to connect it. It has to, the device has to show up as a Wi-Fi hotspot. And you connect your phone to the Wi-Fi hotspot that doesn't have internet. Yeah. Then you give it the information to your actual Wi-Fi network.
Yeah.
And then it's
then it sends that information to your thing. And then that thing can get on the same network.
There was another garden sensor, though, that did exactly that. So you had the app on your phone and you just hold the flashlight
I was about to say that. Yeah.
Flashlight.
Awesome.
Yeah. Nice. I think it was the flashlight on the screen.
Oh, my God. I wish everything worked like that. That's so cool.
But like that actually is more convenient for small amounts of data. For small amounts of data than having to connect. I was like, how do you make your grandparent do this? Like, this is insane. Or like Bluetooth, where it's like, make sure the number is just click OK.
Yeah. Like, has it ever happened?
No. Who cares if they see
it? I know. I know.
That's so cool.
And then you have like Apple comes in with kind of like a solution to all this, but then it's locked into their ecosystem.
Bastards.
But even then, it kind of doesn't work.
Yeah. Like iMessage and
like the Wi-Fi shit. You know, when someone's trying to log in?
Oh, yeah.
Like, because I have an Android, and I don't, like, that's cool as hell. Like, when someone tries to log into a Wi-Fi network.
Same network as somebody else.
How does it know, though? Does it know if you're in the contacts or something? Or like?
No, I don't think so.
So then do you get notifications at, like,
what is this thing? Where
if you have an iPhone.
Yeah.
And you're logged into a Wi-Fi network. So let's say Kevin logs into a Wi-Fi network with his iPhone.
Yeah.
And then you try to log into it.
Uh-huh.
Kevin's phone will receive a ping asking if he wants to give you access to the network, and the phones will share credentials.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to type the password or
what?
Yeah.
Yeah. It might be a contact thing.
Maybe there's gotta be some security.
I've never seen that before. I don't have enough friends with Wi-Fi, I guess.
You're talking about Alex and his property.
Yeah. we'll ask him about it. We should
we'll come over to his property when he has Wi-Fi and a toilet.
Yes. Yes, hello.
Looks nice in here, doesn't it?
Hi, potato.
Look at these chairs. Like these are chairs. Legit.
Potato. What do you think she's staring at? She's staring at Alan, I think. Now she's staring
look over
at me.
Here, look over here, look over Hi, here. Potato. Like a cat.
Potato, potato can't be on the podcast today. She has a big dent in her forehead from Papa. An hour?
Well, we have to cut out all the slurs.
Yeah. So we got to have about 15 extra minutes. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for supporting us on our Patreon. Again, we were able to, we bought new chairs. We actually bought new cameras.
If you know how anything works, please.
Does it look better?
Tell us how things, that's not how anything works.
They literally already have. it's the best way to get free advice online is to post the wrong information.
Yeah, everything wrong that we've said. Tell us
hey
how
guys,
we're wrong.
I need help doing this. No one says anything. Hey guys, this is how this works. You're an idiot.
Oh.
Let us know if the cameras look better.
I took this. Are we doing names?
Yeah.
Okay, this name and I just turned it into photons.
I took this photon and turned it into this name. And then I stuck it up my butt.
I took these photon, this photon, these names that are made of photons, and I'm going to turn them into I'm turning them into gamma rays. you now have cancer.
only if you watch the video, if you are listening to the audio.
You're fine.
No,
you're
still have cancer. You got your cancer.
From just the audio.
Yeah. We played a tone that specifically is like the asbestos of tones and gave you ear cancer. Yeah.
It's tuned to your DNA to make it
apart. The resonant frequency of your genes, and so that now they got all messed up.
We should do an episode where we just make the most annoying sounds we can for a couple minutes and then see what the retention looks like. How many people skip forward? Oh, wait. Where we do it for a long enough time where it's too annoying to skip forward because they're not necessarily watching. You know, people are kind of like away from their computer. They have headphones in or something like that.
I wonder is there a certain tone that we could make with our mouths that would like be replicated in the retention graph of like going up and down, people like clicking and skipping?
Probably really annoying sounds and then ASMR. Hey, little mama, let me whisper in your ear.
Or little papa, we don't discriminate.
Here.
I have potato. I have a potato now. Okay, potato. Don't anyway, look towards the cameras. Don't show
I know where
forehead.
We can find a bunch of earwigs.
Outside?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, if you guys subscribe to the Safety Third Patreon, we'll post the earwig video.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.